still about winning. Yeah. And then, as I mentioned about the challenges of our road opponents, us being on the road, you know, I think that's a big challenge to play your rival and then to play at Camp Randall and the Big House and the Shoe. I mean, those are big challenges.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, to be kind of right there on top, like you talked about, it's a great home field advantage. And we've got an unbelievable home schedule this year. We open up with Vanity at night, and then we've got Boston College, South Dakota, and Indiana. So we start with four out of our first five.
When I made my decision, you know, to suspend Sierra and Justin Yatupo, we then, you know, began to, you know, get more reps to other guys because he wasn't going to be playing.
10:05 here on The Score, and it is time for the College Football Roundtable. I'll be joined by Adam Hogue, Joe Ostrowski, and Herb Lawrence. It's an in-house job here on The Score. All four of us right here for you, taking all your college football knowledge, all of our college football knowledge, and throwing it out there for you. Should be an interesting night, I think. The voices you heard coming back, Pat Fitzgerald and the Northwestern Wildcats, Tim Beckman of the Fighting Illini, and Brian Kelly of the Fighting Irish, all of them talking about the various issues that present to them. Fitz talking about the four non-conference games he's got to start the schedule. Actual real games for him. Tim Beckman talking as well. Brian Kelly talking about the his decision to suspend Sierre Wood and Justin Utupu as well. Should be a pretty interesting season. I suppose, guys, you know, there's no better way to start than just kind of lay out exactly where we'll start this college schedule. Thursday night, I suppose it'll be nice to get college football started. It'll be nice to have an unadulterated weekend of just, you know, the kids out there playing without the NFL game. And it's not to rag on the NFL game. It's just you kind of rejoice in just the college football for what it is in that weekend. Although South Carolina and Vandy, really the only game Thursday night that has any kind of interest, I guess. Vandy's looking to make a bowl game two straight years. That's never happened before.
Well, you know I can talk up any college football game, but this one's no different. It's an SEC game, so you start right away with the conference that's going to win the championship at the end of the year like they do every year.
Is there anyone to take? We'll get into that, too. Yep. That's Adam Hogue, Joe Ostrowski questioning. But is there anyone to take the crown away from the SEC the last seven seasons? Joe, on Friday, you get an actual game here. Yeah. You get Boise State and MSU, two ranked teams, playing against each other for the first time this season. I have no idea what either of these teams really have at quarterback. I have no clue.
Well, for the first time in a long time, you have Boise State barely ranked in the top 25. You're used to seeing at this point Boise being up in the top 10 area, and we are entering, it's a good feeling to say we're entering one of the final years with the BCS, with that whole setup. But I will say, as we start, one thing that has been bothering me as there has been a whole lot of excitement as we get closer and closer to this weekend, and it's pretty awesome Saturday. There's going to be football at 8 a.m.
Yes, there will.
8 a.m. there's going to be games, so it's going to be a little bit different, but this is not the forum to talk about Penn State. That's been done, but a lot of people are saying, oh, finally we can now talk about football. Like, oh, so you're not going to continue to follow that Penn State story?
Right.
That's bothered me a little bit, but same token, I'm very excited.
It's going to be mixed emotions kind of going into the season, I think, all year long. And it's going to be interesting having this whole, I don't know, just battle going on, I guess, for attentions and in headlines and all that kind of stuff. And we won't lose sight of it. But tonight, you know, we're here doing what we're doing, and we're not going to avoid anything, that's for sure. Although, you know, on Saturday, it really does pick up, and you have the national title game, the first big-time game, Herb, with Saturday being Michigan and Alabama. Finally, you've got number 8 versus number 2. And I guess the biggest question in everyone's mind is really just going to be this. How does Denard Robinson not get killed by Alabama's defense?
Oh, he's getting hurt. That's his thing. He loves to get hurt. And without his running mate, Fitz Toussaint, not being there, he's going to be in trouble. I see a blowout in this game by Alabama, like they always do, like the SEC always does when the Big Ten comes down there. Mm-hmm.
So those are our four voices tonight, and I'm pretty much with Herb as far as that thing's concerned, that whole Alabama-Michigan thing. I fear a little bit for Michigan. I truly do.
Oh, come on.
My question is this, though. As we start kind of the national look, and I guess there's no better way to do it than heading in on this Michigan-Alabama game that's going to be Saturday night.
My question there is, in respects to Michigan, it sounds like Devin Gardner is going to be seeing some time at wide receiver. And if he's the next best guy to play a little quarterback for you at Michigan, I wonder if there's any wise ideas going on there. I wonder if there's any logic behind that at all. You're just putting yourself up there for a lot of disaster.
Well, Michigan's got to replace a number of guys at wide receiver, Junior Hemingway out the door. And I think that that's one of their biggest question marks as far as offense goes. Now, this Michigan team should still be able to score a lot of points. I think there's more significant question marks on defense. And I think that's where when you start to look at this first game against Alabama, you're going, all right, well, they can score, but Alabama's defense is really, really, really good. And all of a sudden you got this turnover going here. Are they going to be able to put it together in the first game? I would think they would need a couple games to kind of gel that offense. And defensively, Alabama's offense is going to be better this year. And I think that this is where it's just a tough matchup for them in the first week.
So you're saying that you do trust A.J. McCarron. See, something I think a lot of people are doing when you look at this game is you're saying it's good old Alabama and they're going to be the same Alabama team that they ended the season. I don't know if that's the case because you look at a defense that has six new starters. You look at a defense that lost three guys in the first round to the NFL. Maybe early on in the year, that defense is not as sharp. Nick Saban's defenses get sharp with playing time, and a lot of those guys that you're going to see on the field against Michigan have not had that playing time. I will give credit to Michigan with this, though, because some people say, whoa, what are the Wolverines doing? They're basically starting their season 0-1, Brady Hoke's getting all these great recruits, and doesn't it feel good? I'm not saying the Big Ten is one of the better conferences in the nation, because right now I'd say it's going to be a down year as far as the big boys are concerned, because there are zero teams in the conference that are even in contention for a national title. So then you say down year for the Big Ten, but it feels good to know that Ohio State and Michigan are both rising quickly.
Let's talk a little bit about the SEC then as we talk about Alabama. Is this truly this first year that we don't see Nick Saban just instead of reloading the way we talk about him, just next man up and you're fine there? Is there anybody who challenges the SEC champion Alabama, that kind of caliber, whether it's LSU or Alabama? Is there anybody else out there that gets it done? I mean, you can look at Georgia and I guess South Carolina to an extent as well, but why falter in your trust of Les Miles or Nick Saban here?
Well, there's a number of really good teams in the SEC. I mean, we just talked about that game tomorrow night. South Carolina, unfortunately, their schedule is a little bit tough. I mean, when you look at them head-to-head, I think South Carolina might be right up there with LSU and Alabama as far as a team that can win that conference. But as far as the schedule goes, it's tough. They have to go to Georgia, and Georgia's going to be a really good team as well. There's just so much parity in this conference, and I just don't. I feel like this year with the SEC, when you look at Alabama and LSU, I still see flaws with these teams, and I think everyone's going to have a loss. I don't see any of these SEC teams running the table this year, and I think that's where it opens the door elsewhere for maybe a USC or an Oregon to get in that conversation. And also, this might be one of those years, and it seems like we haven't had one of these in a couple years now, where you look at Ohio State, what was that, 2007, where it looked like they were out of it, but everyone started losing in those last couple weeks, and they got into the game with two losses.
You can walk backwards into that title game.
And that's why, Joe, I would not rule out completely a Big Ten team in this, because I do think that teams like Michigan State, and possibly even Wisconsin, just because of their schedule, I think they might make a small step backwards this year as far as talent goes, but their schedule's okay. If one of them manages to only lose one game, you never know. They might slip into that conversation just because I don't think the SEC is going to go undefeated this year.
But, Adam, we still are in that BCS era. And right now, nationally, I don't think the Big Ten has the respect. When you talk about the big boys in the Big Ten, you're talking about Ohio State being down, even though I think they're going to have a better year under Urban Meyer than they certainly did last year. I believe they finished 6-7. And you look at Penn State being down. The depth is there for the Big Ten. But as far as at the top, the heavy hitters, not there. I'm still looking a few years away, but you hear conversations. Some people, I want to say early on, maybe a month or two ago, when you start talking about the college football season, everybody was on USC. But as we get closer, now you're hearing all sorts of names thrown out. So people have no idea what's going on. You're hearing LSU, you're hearing Alabama, Oklahoma, USC, you just mentioned Oregon, Florida State. I mean, listen to the list. I mean, there were three teams in the preseason top 25 that had 15 first-place votes. So the voters are telling you, I have no idea what's going to happen this year.
I guess I'd feel a little bit more comfortable about the Big Ten if I could find an actual wide receiver in the conference. But as far as wide receivers go, you head out to USC. Matt Barkley has his pick. Herb, does the Heisman shine just continue on Matt Barkley throughout the entire season, or is he a pretender?
No, he's the guy this year. Just like Andrew Luck was last year, it's his to lose this year.
Yeah.
He has no excuse. He has a running back who's diesel. He has wide receivers who are all good. He's the one. He's the number one team right now. So it's his to lose. If he loses multiple games in that, it's not a great Pac-10. I think only Oregon will challenge him. So if he loses more than two games, he lost the Heisman.
Well, a lot of people think Utah might be a sleeper. That has a lot to do with the defense. No, I'm with you. A lot more to do with the defense. They got a solid kid on the line. Let me ask you this. Yeah. If there is, Herb, if you have to pick someone to win that Heisman over Matt Barkley, can you come up with someone that's do you have to go quarterback?
I have to go back to the SEC. They have quarterbacks out there. And Mr. Lattimore in South Carolina.
Marcus is a hell of a running back.
I think you guys are missing when you were talking about the SEC and then maybe the national championship thing. I know they lost their quarterback, and I know everybody hates John L. Smith.
Yes.
But Arkansas' schedule sets up for a national championship.
Hey, if we're going to talk schedules in the SEC, I'd rather have Georgia's schedule and Murray back there, Aaron Murray calling the signals. I mean, that's the schedule. That's a cakewalk.
The toughest game they have is on the road versus South Carolina. It's late in the season.
It is. It's really late. It's absolutely late.
Are the players at Arkansas going to buy in? That's what it really comes down to, because Bobby Petrino's brother, right, Paul Petrino, he's down there running the offense, surely the exact same offense that his brother was going to run. And if the whole thing with Bobby Petrino did not happen, yeah, they would be in the middle of that conversation. They would be.
And they know that. And I think that's why the players are probably still invested, probably still have a ton of confidence. Not only do you have Tyler Wilson, who's a really good senior quarterback, but you have Nile Davis, who is one of the more underrated running backs in the entire country, in my opinion.
I think so.
And there's a lot of talent here, but then you just talk about that turmoil. You talk about the turnover at head coach. The thing is, you bring up Petrino's brother, and most of that staff is still the same. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people give assistant coaches enough credit in college football. Staffs really matter, not only with the relationships they develop with players and recruiting. They bring that then into once those players are in the program, and that carries on for a year. So I think there's still a lot of stability there that people are kind of just, all this happened at Arkansas. They're not real. I think this is a very good team, and they could sneak into it.
There's a little more talk to do nationally, I think, after we come back from the break, whether it's Texas A&M heading to the SEC and preparing for the whooping that they're likely to get, or whether it's talking about Lance or Landry. Yeah, it's Landry out there in Oklahoma, whether or not he's the quarterback to go ahead and take the Heisman away from Matt Barkley. Kid who flew under the radar a little bit, lost his best receiver last year due to injury. We'll see if there are any other pretenders to Matt Barkley's throne. At least that's how it looks early on in the season. More College Football Roundtable coming up right here on The Score.
We're 2 years removed from what was handed down, as a lot of people saying, for 5 or 10 years, SC is over, and to be in a conversation about being a preseason number one team 2 years later is extremely exciting for our university.
10:23 here on The Score. I'm Connor McKnight. With me, Adam Hope, Joe Ostrowski, and Herb Lawrence. It's the College Football Roundtable. That was the voice of Lane Kiffin coming back from the break there. He's got himself a hell of a team, and if anybody's going to go ahead and knock off the SEC during the preseason, at least, it looks like USC might be one of those teams to do it. We want to get into the Big Ten and break down your team here in just a little bit. A couple of national questions, fellas, just to kind of wrap this whole national perspective thing up. We've talked about the Heisman. We've talked about the reign of the SEC. One of the things that's been interesting to me, and it might not be so interesting to watch throughout the course of the college football season, it might be a bloodbath for Texas A&M heading into the SEC, Adam. But I wonder if you think that with that offense, with that, I mean, they actually like to score points, do the A&M Aggies, where the rest of the SEC just kind of plays defense and plays that old boy football kind of stuff. I wonder, is there any surprise that A&M can offer the SEC, or are those defenses just going to be a little wide-eyed for the first quarter and then shut down for the next three?
I think this is going to be tough for A&M this season. I mean, you got a first-time head coach, and Kevin Sumlin, who, you know, played Illinois well and got his contract. And I like Kevin Sumlin, but the last two new head coaches that have come into A&M, it's been, I believe, A&M's only had four wins both times, the last two times under a new head coach. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen again. But to go to the SEC and you only won seven games a year ago, that doesn't necessarily bode well, even though you're bringing back 13 starters. And I worry about a team, who that might be offensive base, but they're going to the SEC and they're going to get a wake-up call because there's real defense being played there. This isn't the Big 12 anymore. And then on the flip side, there's some playmakers on offense in the rest of the conference. And we've already talked about some of the quarterbacks. We've talked about some of the running backs. We haven't even mentioned Marcus Lattimore's name in South Carolina. My point is there's a ton of offensive playmakers that are going to test this A&M defense as well. It might be a struggle for them to be bowl eligible this year.
Joe, let's get outside the SEC just a little bit. Landry Jones, the Oklahoma quarterback, obviously one of those guys I think probably a lot of people are looking at as a dark horse there. Stoops as well, coaching that Oklahoma team.
Right.
With the way that the, whatever their conference is called now, Texas's conference, with the way that whole thing's gone, where do you see the Oklahoma Sooners in the national picture here?
They should dominate that conference, certainly, and you do mention Texas's conference. Yeah, they're the ones that held that up. Mm-hmm. And once again, we're going through a year. Well, what's Texas going to do at quarterback? What are they going to do for the season? Is it going to be another down year for Texas? But don't forget as well that now TCU and West Virginia enter into the picture, so you don't want to forget about that. But you do have Oklahoma State. You know, you lose your quarterback. You lose your number one option on offense, so you don't know how strong they're going to be. And as we saw last year with Nebraska going over to the Big Ten, there's an adjustment period when you throw a whole new schedule at a team with players and schemes they have not seen. So I'm not expecting TCU to be near the top for the first couple years.
Yeah, they've got some good players, but they're young players, do TCU. And I wonder if it's going to be a little bit of time before they
You're playing
come
real
back
teams
to being,
consistently.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how Texas, you're Texas. How do you not get a quarterback?
It's What's the very
it's unbelievable.
I really couldn't. They do have a defensive depth though. They roll at least 15, if not 20 deep on D. It is insane.
And I think they're going to be better this year. I think they're going to take a step forward this year and be close to what they once were.
Something.
And think about Gilbert, four-star recruit, decommitting after he lost his starting job.
Also true.
You know, that's why they don't have a quarterback. They've put their eggs in all the Gilbert basket, and he was bad.
Herb, how do you feel about Florida State? Can you put any eggs in E.J. Manuel's basket? Is he right there for you as far as Florida State? Because every year, this is just like last season and the season before, they have reloaded and they're ready to roll with the Seminoles. And I don't know if I'm there with it yet.
They got the senior leadership this year. E.J. Manuel, you got Smith on the outside. You got the running back coming back, Thompson. You got a backfield that's really right this year. And like you said, the ACC last year was there for the taking.
It really
they had a
was.
Largely
well, it is every
disappointing
it's the ACC.
Year. I know. And last year we were talking about the same thing. Yeah. Man, Jimbo Fisher's, here he comes.
Fisher's.
I mean, here we go. It's coming. Florida State's back. Tim Bach was hyped. But, you know, third place finish out there in the ACC. I mean, come on. But this year, E.J. Manuel, I think, is going to take that next step to get this team to the ACC championship game where they'll probably lose.
But is he elite quarterback, Herb, or is he just a guy who can play to a certain level of getting you close to that kind of stuff?
No, he's
I'm
the next,
talking college.
No, he's the next you know, college athlete.
All right.
You know, who can't play
That's
quarterback,
fair.
Can run. He's got a decent enough arm, but he's not going to be a next level guy.
And kind of earlier we were talking about easy schedules, and you look at Florida State.
Oh my God.
Their toughest games are at home, including Clemson and Florida. And a couple minutes ago, going back to Texas for just a moment, it is amazing to think back that the last time a team outside the SEC won the BCS championship was when the confetti was falling down on Vince Young. I mean, since that, Bama's won twice. Florida's won twice. LSU and Auburn. I think this is the year, though. I think that
it goes outside the SEC.
I do.
Hmm.
I know which one he's talking about, though.
And
I largely disagree.
Are we saving those for later?
Let's go ahead and air those out. No, let's go ahead.
I don't even have a team picked out. But
I just don't think
I'm looking overall. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an SEC team.
I do still think though that overall the landscape of the SEC lays as such. Any one of those teams can lose a game and still factor into the national title. And until that changes overall, by the competitive nature of other conferences, I don't see anyone really unseating the SEC, an SEC champion.
Think about what's happening in the Big Ten right now. With Wisconsin, even though they don't have a quarterback, they have a walk to the championship game.
Yep. To the Big Ten title game, yeah.
Yeah, and so who are they going to play? If they meet up with Michigan State again, don't you say that may have a chance? Michigan State doesn't have a quarterback.
Not a quarterback.
Michigan State lost their wide receivers out there on the outside. They're bringing back a running back. Wisconsin has just as good a chance to run the table and get to that national championship game.
We'll get into the Big Ten in depth here after the update. We'll just take a couple seconds for that, tell you exactly how the White Sox did and how they got a 3-game edge on the AL Central tonight. I'm teasing the update. More college football, though, coming right after this. .32 here on The Score. The college football roundtable rolls on. Alongside me is Adam Hoge of the website, Joe Ostrowski, who I usually host a show with, and Herb Lawrence, who keeps us all in check. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, doing a little getting into the Big Ten now, getting into your local football teams. And I suppose there's really no better chance than now to start local, and why not? Let's head it out with Illinois. Tim Beckman comes in as the brand new head coach of this franchise, and to me, my biggest question is whether Nathan Shielhouse is an actual quarterback that Beckman is willing to put his hat on for this thing, or Riley O'Toole gets a couple of games like he played at the end of the season, toward the end of the season last year. Where do they start that offensive attack?
They should. The reason why Illinois struggled last year is because of this one series, one play every game that Riley O'Toole would get every game. Stick with the quarterback. If you think Riley O'Toole is the guy who's going to lead you to, Big Ten wins, play Riley O'Toole. But I think that Nathan Shielhouse is more the quarterback for the offense that Tim Beckman wants to run, which is a spread offense, which is the third offense he'll learn in the time that he'll be at Illinois. One was Schultz, the other one was Petrino offense, and now it's just a version of the spread that he's run before, but it's a little different.
Adam, I think we can kind of learn a lot about this team in week one against Alex Carter and Western Michigan. It's a solid quarterback who happens to play in a league where they love to throw up points, and you saw Carter tear up Illinois before. I wonder, at least tear up the defense. I wonder how Beckman, who's noted as more of a defensive guy and had his team in some of those battles last year, kind of on the wrong side, I wonder if we learn a ton about his team in week one.
Yeah, the Illini have won 14 straight home openers, but they're going to get really – I think they're going to get a good test week one this Saturday against Western Michigan. This is maybe the best team in the MAC. And for a team that's in the middle of the Big Ten right now, Illinois is going to be tested. And I think on defense, they got some players, some playmakers to replace, but I still think that this is a pretty good nucleus. And this is where it's just too hard. We don't know Tim Beckman yet. I think that's the biggest thing. I think we learned in the last couple of years with the Illini is they really need some coaching.
Yeah.
Can Beckman do that? Because there's some talent on this team. You just talk offensively. Darius Malines, we've talked about the quarterbacks. But, I like some of these running backs as well. Josh Ferguson has looked good. Donovan Young, he's going to get plenty of opportunities. And a lot of this offensive line is back as well. They've shuffled it around a lot. Defensively, Jonathan Brown, one of the best linebackers in the entire conference. You still got Michael Buchanan on the line. There's some talent here, but really the Illini, could go either way because we just don't know how good the coaching is on this team yet.
How do you find a successful season for Tim Beckman? If you've got to wrap something up for him, Joe, how do you go ahead and say, we can talk about the wins as much as you want, but it's kind of up in the air with a new staff. What exactly do you have to see from him to know that Illinois can build a program with him?
Well, Connor, yeah, right away you can start to tell some things, and I know his players are not in yet, but people are going to look for results immediately. You did mention he's known as more of a defensive guy, but let's face facts. Why was Beckman here? Oh, well, part of the reason is because he wasn't the number one option. That's certainly part of
it.
No
doubt.
But his offense, the team he was a head coach of, averaged over 42 points a game, which was good for eighth in the nation. You think he had no part of that? I do find it interesting he made the decision to go with co-offensive coordinators. Do they have it all completely figured out who's going to be calling every play on game day? That'll be interesting. And they've been saying that they're going to run a hybrid of a spread and an option. Now, from what I've heard, it looks like they want Nathan Shielhouse to run a lot less. But who's going to, offensively, who's replacing A.J. Jenkins? This was a 7-6 team, but you also have a guy there that was drafted in the first round.
Absolutely.
Had 90 receptions, over 1,200 yards. And on the defensive side, you had a guy named Merciless that went from one sack to 16 sacks and 9 forced fumbles last year.
So, Illinois, as a team, down 10 points a game from two seasons ago to last season. And like you mentioned, that's even with A.J. Jenkins. End of the day, guys. How do you see this Illinois team faring out? They go Western Michigan at Arizona State, Charleston Southern, Louisiana Tech, Penn State at Wisconsin, at Michigan, Indiana, at Ohio State, Minnesota, Purdue, and at Northwestern to end the season. How many wins you figure Beckman has in his first season here, Herb?
Right there, with the people they have back, the personnel they have back, and the schedule as is, I got them only losing 4 games. The Arizona game, losing. Wisconsin game, losing. Michigan game, losing. At Ohio State losing. And that Northwestern game at the end, they can lose that one. So maybe 5 games they're going to lose, 7-5 with 6-5 with the FCS team there.
Adam, are you as relatively optimistic as Herb is?
No, I think when I did my best and worst case scenarios on 670score.com with them, I think I actually said that 6-2 in the Big Ten would be the best case, which is actually better than what you just painted there. I think you painted a 5-3 record in the conference. But ultimately, and I just said this could go either way. I'm going to draw it right down the middle. I think this team goes 6-6 this year. I just think there's still too many questions, and the schedule is tough. You got to go to Wisconsin. You got to go to Michigan. You got to go to Ohio State. To me, those are all losses. They've been okay against Northwestern, but you know they don't always play well in Evanston. And I always feel like there's that one home game every year they blow in the Big Ten. No one's going to see it.
Right.
And I think they lose at home to Purdue as well in a bit of a surprise. And that's why I think it ultimately comes out to 6-6.
Guys, I'm looking at around a 500 record. And I don't think that's a big loss in Tim Beckman's first year. As I mentioned before, he gets his own players in. And you do, when the Penn State stuff was happening, you do have to like that Beckman was that aggressive. And I think if they finish third in the leaders behind Wisconsin and I believe Ohio State, that's okay. Around 500, that's okay, even though you did fire Ron Zook off a 7-6 season and winning his last two bowl games.
That's our roundup of Illinois to start off the Big Ten look here on the College Football Roundtable right here on the Score. Northwestern bears the brunt of it next. We'll stay with you. You stay with us. You got the Score.
I'm extremely confident in Kane as a quarterback. You know, he's got more experience today going into his junior year than Mike Kafka and Danny Persa did when they were his age. So he's got a lot of experience. You all got an opportunity to see his skill set a year ago, you know, especially when you look at the Nebraska game. You know, I think he obviously did some very special things in that game, but also in every game.
10:45 here on the Score. The College Football Roundtable rolls on. I'm Connor McKnight alongside me, Adam Hoge, Joe Ostrowski, and Herb Lawrence breaking down the Big Ten, taking a look into what exactly is going to go on in the next handful of weeks here as we try to set up the legends and lead divisions. That, of course, the voice of Pat Fitzgerald. We're going to start in on Northwestern here. We broke down Illinois just a little while ago, breaking down kind of the local teams here. I guess, Joe, let's start with you here. I wonder, we look back to look forward, and I wonder exactly how big a missed opportunity last year may have been in your eyes for Northwestern as the season started with Persa for Heisman and
Persa strong
and real all these hopes of pinned right onto their quarterback. And it's unfortunate that the kid just wasn't healthy enough to play the entire season.
Right.
I wonder how much of a missed opportunity it might have been for Fitz and the Northwestern Wildcats.
Missed opportunity. I want you to clarify it a little more. Missed opportunity for what? Where are you talking? See, what satisfies Northwestern fans? Because is it realistic to expect them to win their division every year?
Not every year, no, but I think what's realistic for Fitz to expect of his fans is that as they achieve higher and higher tiers, as they achieve more and more, and that last year might have been a chance to achieve more than what they did, and I'm not saying last year was a complete failure by any stretch. I mean, you found a quarterback that I think a future can be rested on, but as they achieve more, I think that fan base kind of hopes for more.
Well, this is a team that has lost 4 straight bowl games. Now, it's a big accomplishment for Northwestern football. They've never been to 4 consecutive bowl games, but they have been, and they've lost all of them. They've actually lost their last 9 bowl games. I think where they are right now is about maybe where they were a couple years ago, I should say. It's about as far as Northwestern can go. And you look at where the Big Ten is going, as I mentioned earlier in the show, The powers are coming back. Michigan is coming back. Ohio State is coming back, how people like to say it should be. I think Northwestern, a little above 500 and in a bowl game, is a win for that school. Now, when you talk about their weaknesses under Dan Persa, they were at the top of the conference consistently with passing yards. Their problem, every time they lost, what happened? One, they couldn't run the football. Two, they couldn't stop the run. I mean, you look over the last 2 years, and that Northwestern defense has been the problem. They've been giving up 28 points per game. Every time they lose, you take a look, well, how many rushing yards they give up? It's 200 just about every darn time, which is very damn frustrating.
And not many starters coming back on D. We talked about Kane Coulter a little bit. Herb, I wonder if that's – it's as Kane Coulter goes, I think he can still give some Big Ten defenses a fit at times. I don't know that he's the do everything, or is he in your eyes that Kane Coulter's become the kind of a do everything guy in Fitz's offense?
I mean, I think he's just as solid as what Perso gave you the year before. Kane Coulter's cultivated his offense last year with I think it was a Navy game on the road where he just struck everybody and threw for a couple touchdowns and ran for a couple. I think he's just coming into his own. He doesn't have a lot of receivers like Persa had with Dunsmore and Ebert and those and the like of those people. But Veneric Mark's good out of the backfield, so is Wheat North's finest. Sorry, I had to give my man Mike Trumpy a little love, even though he's not dead.
Mike Trumpy's all the love.
He's coming back.
Mike Trumpy's ready to go.
I know, I did a sky point like he was dead or something. But
don't forget about Kyle Prater.
I forgot about
you mentioned that they don't have the wide receiver. They have a lot of wide receivers, just not many of them have seen the field quite yet.
Yeah.
And Kyle Prater, Adam, and you're right to mention him, but he's not even cracking the tops of depth charts here, and I wonder why.
Well, here's why. I'll tell you exactly why. He is entering a completely new system than what he was in at USC.
Right, that's the transfer from USC. I guess we should set that up just for a sec.
He's not quite into game shape yet. They still talk about his health, and I don't think that means like was an ankle or foot injury he had. I'm not sure that's the health problem.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to get him back into game shape. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, ultimately you bring in a guy like this who's going to get a ton of hype at a program that's never seen a 6'5 wide receiver before like this, and you want to ease him into the situation. I think Kyle Prater is going to be contributing a lot this year for Northwestern. I just think they're going to ease him into it slowly. There's some weapons here to throw the ball to. And Kane Coulter, you talk about a triple threat. He is their leading returning passer, rusher, and receiver here.
Are they going to stop anybody? I think that's the question.
That's the big question.
And we talk about Northwestern, what they do offensively. Are they going to stop anybody? Certainly something you have to give credit. Big Ten conference games, Pat Fitzgerald, very successful when they're close. Those cardiac cats, they have something in them, and they do win crazy games. I want to say last year, Nebraska. Right.
A big game they had no business being.
They have games like that every single year. But are you going to stop anybody?
Can you pick a record for them? Can you put them down for a number here, guys, as you take a look at the Northwestern Wildcats? I'll read their schedule off real quickly here as soon as I find it. There it is. At Syracuse, they play Vanderbilt at home, Boston College in South Dakota, and props to Fitz for putting together a non-conference schedule that's at least relatively competitive. They get Indiana as well, at Penn State, at Minnesota, Nebraska at home, Iowa at home, at Michigan State, and then Illinois at home. That is a tough run to finish out that season for Pat Fitzgerald Wildcats. Joe, you got a number for these guys?
I don't think things changed too much from last year. Last year they went 6-7, 3-5 in the conference. And if you look at the Big Ten, the legends and the leaders, them being in the legends, they're in the tougher division, certainly, because you're talking about Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska, Iowa. You never know when Kirk Ferentz is going to come back, and you do have
I truly don't know that, actually. I have no idea. James Vandenberg might be one of the most underrated guys in this conference, and I still don't know if they've got anything.
And I think Ferentz is one of the most overrated coaches in the conference.
I'm right there with you. So you're right there about the...
I think it's a below 500 year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Herb?
Wow.
They're below 500 last year.
You going to give any more love to Fitz?
6-6, 7-5.
Yeah.
I looked at the schedule. I mean, he was talking earlier about the four home games they got. The first one of those home games, Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
That's a loss.
That's a team that wants a bowl game again this year. And it's almost like those are the two, they're identical schools in some respects, aren't they?
They are. Aren't they academically, very, very close? Within their conference, both struggling, probably as good as much hype as they're going to get. They're never going to be at the top. Vandy's never going to be at the top of the SEC. Northwestern, probably not going to get back up to those Rose Bowl years because of the depth of the conference.
Exactly.
Because
the schedule's not rolling around.
The Big Two and everyone else like it used to be, because then you could have one of those big two teams down, and then you could sneak up like that. That's not going to happen anymore when you got Wisconsin and Michigan State up there. Ultimately, I think it's a 7-5 year for Northwestern. They make another bowl game. Someone asked me today, can they finally win one? Sure they can. They've been in all four of the last four bowl games. They just need to do it. Here's the scary thing, though. It's not inconceivable. Well, I think they finished 7-5. They could theoretically start this season 7-0 before that tough four-game stretch.
It's a brutal last four.
It's possible. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they lose to Vandy, but it's possible.
But Northwestern is also one of those teams where they're going to give up a game that they have no business giving up.
I got that one at Minnesota, October 13th.
No, you've got to be kidding.
Oh, at my Minnesota, God. October
no
13th.
Business.
Jerry Kill
Jerry
time.
Jerry Kill getting himself a little fat, huh?
We don't have enough time to go to the Gophers.
No, literally,
don't sleep on the Gophers this year. I think they finished 5-7, 2-6 in the Big
Ten. RP's been at the school for five years. He should be great.
I am sleeping on everything that has to do with Minnesota this season.
If Minnesota's not at the bottom of the Big Ten, Adam, aside from Indiana, well, who's the second worst team then?
Purdue.
No.
I've got Purdue as a dark horse in that leaders division.
You bring up a good point here, Joe. Mm-hmm. This is how deep this conference is. If Ohio State and Penn State were not banned from a bowl game this year, you're theoretically looking at 11 teams that could be there in the mix for a bowl game at the end of the year. I think Minnesota comes just short at 5-7, but you're right. They are the second worst team in the Big Ten. Although, actually, I think it might be Penn State. We haven't really gotten into that.
I don't know what's going to happen with them. No clue.
Let's pick the powerhouses here out of a Legends and Leaders division. I know Michigan State has that SEC-like defense, and I don't trust Nebraska until Taylor Martinez can throw the football, so I don't trust Nebraska. Yeah. Michigan, I love Denard Robinson as much as the next guy. I love watching him play football. I don't know if he plays in 10 games this year, much less starts 10 games. I just don't know. Herb, can you pick somebody out of that Legends division? Do you have somebody absolutely running away with this that isn't Michigan State, or do the Spartans do it again?
The quarterback problem is really bad for them. I mean, this guy is taking over for Kirk Cousins.
Andrew Maxwell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the leadership, the stats he put out there, B.J. Cunningham's not going to be there, no more Keyshawn Martin. I mean, it's a huge gap to fill. So I'm going to go with Michigan. I'm going to say Denard's going to play every game. He's going to get hurt every game, every single game. But they're going to find a way to come out of the Legends and represent that side of the conference in the Indianapolis.
Devin Gardner's going to be the most popular backup in the country, I think. Adam, can you make a Legends division pick? Is it Sparty, or do you have Michigan taking it home?
I'm going to do the smart thing, and I'm taking Michigan because they host Michigan State. That's really the only reason. Okay. If I have to do that, it all comes down to that game. It's a big one. It's October 20th in Ann Arbor. But here's the thing, and I think Michigan probably beats Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game too, but if I had to pick one team out of this conference to compete for the national championship, it's Michigan State. Because if Andrew Maxwell is the real deal, which he might, you bring up Kirk Cousins' leadership, they've already said, and I had a chance to talk to Andrew at Big Ten Media Days, this guy does kind of have that moxie, kind of that leadership. And this is an SEC-caliber defense. If they find one or two wide receivers, everyone else is back. The offensive line is good. Le'Veon Bell's fine at running back.
Oh, more than fine.
The offense comes around. And it wasn't that great last year with Kirk Cousins running the show. If it comes around, this defense is the kind of defense that could lead Michigan State to the national championship game in a surprise.
Joe, are you with the maize and blue like everybody else here?
No, I'm not. I'm going with the green. I'm going with Michigan State for one last time because of the defense, and that's the sole reason. And it's one last time. I say that because next year I think Michigan takes over. I'm telling you guys, next year we're going to be talking about Ohio State and Michigan in the Big Ten championship, and that might happen a bunch of times in the near future.
Yeah, when you flip over to that leaders division as we close out the college football roundtable, I'll tell you what, it's been a lot of fun. There's no question to me that Ohio State is the best team in that leaders division and might just be the best team in the Big Ten, and nothing they do this year will really matter towards the end of it. I understand that those games, You know, they play each of the other top five teams in this conference. They have everybody on that schedule, and yet it seems as though in that leaders division, Wisconsin kind of has a walk through that schedule, easy as it is.
Last time.
And with Ohio State and Penn State both out of this whole conversation, I don't see Indiana or Illinois or really Purdue being the only threat to that whole schedule. And it comes down to me as being the game on the 13th of October at Purdue being the one that sends or keeps Wisconsin from playing in the Big Ten Championship.
I think this is a bigger game than people realize. I think they'll realize it once we get to October 13th. The game at Nebraska for Wisconsin doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Different divisions, they can lose that one. They get Michigan State and Ohio State at home. I actually think they'll lose one of those, but it really does come down to that Purdue game, because if Wisconsin can beat Purdue in Purdue, it's almost impossible for them not to take the division.
Herb, do you have? I know you've got problems with Wisconsin quarterback, and it's well founded. Do you have problems with that team just kind of assuming that they roll into a successful year like they did the last season with Russell Wilson with another transfer quarterback?
Yeah, they're just going to be a smooth transition, because the first four games they're just going to be handing off the ball to James White,
Northern Iowa, and the great Oregon Monte State, Ball, Utah State, Texas, El Paso. I don't see any really.
Someone mentioned his name. It only took 57 minutes.
Yeah, so. You know, they'll be handing the ball off a lot. You know, Abramidis coming back for an 18th year, and so is that man Duckworth. So,
did you just mention Tim Abramidis?
That's how he's
former Notre Dame.
Abramidis. Sorry.
To refer to Jared Abramidis as Tim Abramidis the entire year.
Same guy. But just to get back, I know we're running out of time. Just get back. We dismiss Nebraska like there's some garbage.
Yeah, no,
on that
yes, I'm doing that.
Right.
On the other side.
You
should. Yes.
You just think nothing, Taylor Martinez, nothing.
Nothing.
You're good?
Oh, I don't.
Burkhead, you're good?
All last season, any defense, specifically Wisconsin's in that first Big Ten matchup they played, it's why I mentioned them, every Big Ten defense begged him to throw the ball. Begged him to throw the ball. And at times, he did. Not with any kind of regularity. He is the poor man's knockoff, cheap imitation version of Denard Robinson. He's not even close to that. It's just not there.
And to me, the bigger side is the defensive side of the ball. You lost Levante David. You lost Alfonso Denard. That was a defense that was severely overrated last year, didn't perform, and they lose that. I just don't think they're going to be able to compete with that defense this year.
A leaders division leader for you, Joe.
And Connor, last thing, shameless plug, I can't wait till Sunday. We're on the air from 3 to 6:30.
Oh, that is shameless.
And we're going to be talking a lot of college football.
Oh, there will be plenty.
After the first Saturday where everybody just sits all day, and it starts at 8 a.m., and we didn't even get to Notre Dame, and you have Brian Kelly coming off back-to-back 8-5 seasons, and everybody says year three is that year. You start judging a head coach on year three, and then he's got the toughest schedule I've ever seen.
It's unbelievable how difficult those games are.
Look at the road games. Just the road games.
I'll go ahead and read you those road games. At Michigan State, he has Miami at Soldier Field, not technically a road game, but you know it's not right there at home. At Oklahoma, at Boston College, at USC, might be three games on that schedule. He cannot win.
Joe, how many games do you give him like as a pass here? I mean, what's the minimum amount of wins this year where he's okay as far as criticism even goes?
7.
He can go 7-5 and be okay.
I think it's a huge victory if they get 8 wins.
Yeah,
this
I was going to say 8 would be a good year.
Yeah. For them. I think very good. But if they get... But here's what I want to see. Notre Dame, their problem has been those big games against top 25 teams. I want to see them steal one of those games. Whether you're I'll throw it out there. Yeah, USC, Oklahoma, Michigan, Michigan State. They need to win one of those four games. He needs one of those big victories. He hasn't had one. He's going into year three.
Best of luck.